and all about him, in the rooms below, in the houses on each side and across the road, and behind in the park terraces and in the 100 other streets of that part of Marylebone, and the Westbourne Park District and St. Pancras, and westward and northward in Kilburn and St. John's Wood and Hampstead, and eastward in Shoreditch and Highbury and Haggerston and Hoxton, and indeed through all the vastness of London from Ealing to East Ham. People were rubbing their eyes and opening windows to stare out and ask aimless questions, and dressing hastily as the first breath of the coming storm of fear blew through the streets. It was the dawn of the great panic. London, which had gone to bed on Sunday night oblivious and inert, was awakened, in the small hours of Monday morning, to a vivid sense of danger. Unable from his window to learn what was happening, my brother went down and out into the street, just as the sky between the parapets of the houses grew pink with the early dawn. The flying people on foot and in vehicles grew more numerous every moment. "Black smoke!" he heard people crying, and again, "Black smoke!" The contagion of such a unanimous fear was inevitable. As my brother hesitated on the doorstep, he saw another news vendor approaching and got a paper forthwith. The man was running away with the rest and selling his papers for a shilling each as he ran, a grotesque mingling of profit and panic. And from this paper, my brother read that catastrophic dispatch of the Commander-in-Chief. "The Martians are able to discharge enormous clouds of a black and poisonous vapor by means of rockets. They have smothered our batteries, destroyed Richmond, Kingston, and Wimbledon, and are advancing slowly toward London, destroying everything on the way. It is impossible to stop them. There is no safety from the black smoke, but in instant flight." That was all, but it was enough. The whole population of the great 6 million city was stirring, slipping, running. Presently, it would be pouring en masse northward. "Black smoke!" the voices cried. "Fire!" The bells of the neighboring church made a jangling tumult. A cart, carelessly driven, smashed, amid shrieks and curses against the water trough up the street. Sickly yellow lights went to and fro in the houses, and some of the passing cabs flaunted unextinguished lamps. And overhead, the dawn was growing brighter, clear and steady and calm. He heard footsteps running to and fro in the rooms, and up and down stairs behind him. His landlady came to the door, loosely wrapped in dressing gown and shawl. Her husband followed, ejaculating. As my brother began to realize the import of all these things, he turned hastily to his own room, put all his available money, some £10 altogether, into his pockets, and went out again into the streets.